Thank you for your word. Thank you for your principles. Thank you for loving us so much. Lord, you left us a handbook so that we can look at your thoughts, your instruction, your direction for us, and a manual that we can follow how to assemble properly this life and our behavior so that it would be the way you intended and that it would bring the purpose for which you intended in and through us. Teach us, open our hearts, guide us, Lord. We thank you. May your anointing be up every ear today. May we gain wisdom and understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have been talking about the heart. We started back in the first Sunday of July talking about issues of the heart. The Bible describes a heart as the control center of our personhood. It's the core of who we are, and we are all unique. So each one's heart is unique. It's the center of our thoughts, our desires, our emotions, our purposes, our motivations. Is the being of who we are. We talked about the heart being so important that we said that your body goes where your heart has already gone. Your mouth only talks where your heart has already gone. Your eyes only go where your heart has already gone. So before anything happens in our circumstances, in our life, it is the heart that goes there. On July the 3rd, we started talking about our thought life, both the good and the bad. And we mentioned all kinds of things that we have to watch out. We also discuss mindsets that we can adopt and the ones that we should adopt. And we talked that on July 10th. I actually give you the date so that you can go back to our website and find the sermons on that day if you just missed them. Now, two Sundays ago, we began with this scripture. Come on. All right. We'll do it by hand. And it is not even responding. I have to start all over. Technology is great when it works. There you go. All right. Ha! Is nobody on the screen? There you go. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And this was our foundational scripture 2 weeks ago. Verse 23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Pretty straightforward. God is talking to us and say we have to guard, we have to keep our hearts with intention, not just slothfully or carelessly, but really with all diligence. And then he says, why? Because out of the heart springs all the issues that pertain to our life. We talked about that to some extent. We said that because the heart drives, controls, and shapes your living, You've got to be concerned about your heart. Your heart, which defines your personality, your heart will live forever. Your heart is very valuable to the Lord. And God is saying to us, guard your heart. He loves us. He wants us to enjoy life to the fullness. And he's telling us, guard your heart. And some of us may think, well, if God cares so much for it, why doesn't he take care of it? Why doesn't he guard it rather than us having to guard it? Well, assume the farmers in the United States assume the same ideology. You know, all farmers, I don't care whether they're Christians or not, they know that it is God that makes plants grow. What if they say, well, if God is the one that makes plants grow, then I'll just wait for the harvest. We would be in a pickle, wouldn't we? Yeah. No, they actually clear land, till land, shape land, prepare seed bed, plant seed, fertilize seed, water seed, and then they wait for God to bring the increase out of it. And then they do their harvest. It is a cooperation between God and man. And so God is telling us, guard your heart. It is the most precious thing you got. It will live forever. You will live forever. And therefore, you have to protect. That's valuable. We talked about insurance, didn't we? We insure those things that we care for. Well, God is saying, guard your heart. Only God can change the heart, but he has told us to guard it. Guarding our hearts means for us to be alert, to allow the power of Christ within us to help us protect what enters and dwells in each one of our hearts. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, the latter part of verse 7, God was talking to Samuel as he was choosing the next king for Israel. That was supposed to be David. And Samuel was looking at a good-looking, tall, strong guy. And God said, no, not that one. Then he says, for the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God is very interested in the heart. Therefore, we should also be interested and must look at our hearts. The funny thing is, you know, I think we all realize all the goodness that God pours upon us every day of our lives. I mean, if we just sit down for an hour and consider how many things God blesses us on a daily basis. And yet, no matter where you find yourself, where I find myself, there is this continual secret tendency to depart from God one way or another. That has been one of my realizations through this study. You know, I have lived more as a Christian than a non-Christian. And this heart still gets bent towards evil. It is amazing how many good things man can accomplish, how many good deeds can man accomplish, and in the same token, how ugly can man be? It all started in the garden, didn't it? You see, when Adam and Eve were created, they were only taught good. But when they disobeyed God, they ate the fruit and they got to know good and evil. And it was passed down to each one of us. And so there's always a battle within this flesh. Yeah, we know how to do good and we sometimes do it. And yet, there's some ugly things that can pop up every once in a while. Some more regular than others. Our hearts suffer attacks from all kinds of enemies around us. But it also suffers from attacks of traitors inside our heart. There's knowledge of good and there's knowledge of bad. And that bad has a bad pull on us. And we sometimes yield to it, don't we? As we said before, the issues of our life don't flow out of our circumstances. Oh, we still have to deal with them. But the real issues of life don't flow out of circumstances. It flows out of our hearts. I was hearing the other day, they were talking about a Stradivarius violin, how precious, special, and expensive those things are. Very valuable. And yet, every time you're going to use one, you have to tune it up. What? I mean, they cost millions of dollars. Why don't they tune themselves automatically? No. The violinist, the ones that plays the violin. The first thing they do when they take that very expensive, exquisite, valuable instrument is they have to tune it up. If they don't, the quality of music is... like a Stradivarius violin. We need to tune our hearts constantly. Because if you don't, it will put out a note of our lives that is very unpleasant and self-destructive. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. God is telling us we have to keep our watch upon our hearts. One of the ways we do that is we have to keep a watch on the direction of our affections. Where's my heart pulling me towards? Is it good? Is it bad? Do I even care? You should care. Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, he told his disciples, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We may want to please God, but these desires in our heart, they pull us, and sometimes we yield to it. We want to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And we forget that there's always consequences for our sins. And they are not pleasant. So it's not just praying and closing your eyes and forgetting. Now we're not talking about physical eyes here. We're talking about spiritual eyes. So when we pray, God, reveal to me what's in my heart. What is ruling my heart? What kind of desires are coming out of it? And how can I stop the wrong ones and allow the good ones to come out? It is a discipline that has to be practiced. And then the Lord shows us when we ask Him. There's always red flags. You know, I don't know if you have the same problem, but cars nowadays, they have a little warning light that tells you when a tire is a little low. Those things don't seem to last very long. They start malfunctioning. And that little tire, you know, that looks a little flat comes up. And you don't want to see that yellow thing popping up in your dashboard all the time. So you check your tires. Everything is fine. Well, that stupid thing. I took it to my tire man. He said, yeah, just put a picture of your wife right on in top of it so that you'll see your wife and you won't see that warning light. But there are red flags that also come into us. The Lord allowing us to see into part of our spirit. And He brings out red flags. Amen. That we ought to recognize. Fear. That's a red flag. Why are you fearing? Why are you allowing fear? God has not given us a spirit of fear. Pride. It pops up, and we just yield to it rather than just take it for what is meant to be, a warning that something needs to be taken care of. Greed, resentment, lust, self-pity, anger. Here's one that you can apply very quickly today. Coldness in worship. Some of us are very passionate about spending time together as a family, worshiping the Lord together. Others of us just sit, or actually stand. They're sitting in their hearts, but they're physically standing so that they will not be noticed. Are you entering into worship, or are you just going through the motions? That should be a red flag. Remember when you got born again? You couldn't have enough of Jesus. Give me more. Every worship, every praise time, every word service, there we were. A passion burning for God because we were so grateful of what He did for us. And now somebody threw a bucket of ice water on us, and we can't get cranked to save our souls. So we need to be attentive to our hearts. We need to be diligent to pay attention to issues that are working in our heart. When we suspect that there's an issue, we need to investigate. Why am I feeling this way? Ask yourself questions. Remember, it's not the environment. It's what's coming out of your heart. It is your response to that environment that you have to be watching out. So don't be judging one or the other. I bet all of you are thinking, yeah, that brother, that sister, yeah, I know their behavior. No, God is saying, watch your heart. So when you suspect an issue in your heart, investigate it. Yes. God, why am I feeling this way? Why am I allowing this to control my life, to rule me, to bind me, to imprison me, to make me act this way? Why am I allowing that when I know better? Paul told the Galatians in chapter 5, verse 7. He was getting on to the Galatians because they had gone back to the law. And Paul said, you ran well. Who hinder you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. Then he adds, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That happens when you don't care for your heart and you allow everything and anything to come in indiscriminately. Before you can actually correct something, you have to know what's wrong. That's why we pay mechanics. Car sounds funny. And that's what we tell the mechanic. What does he do? He investigates. Well, God is telling us, investigate that red light that I just pointed out to you. Find out why you're not functioning the way you were meant to function. Once you find out, God has enlightened you, repent and confess before the Lord and before anybody else that needs to know. People that you are accountable to, mentors, spiritual leaders. And then start taking positive steps. Refrain from going to certain places that triggers stuff. Watch your eyes. Watch your ears. Watch your moods. Take positive steps. And continuously ask the Lord for wisdom and strength to overcome these desires. And then trust the Lord and walk in faith, believing that he will help you change that aspect of the heart that seems to be out of sync. Some of the motivations for guarding your heart. You love God because you know he loves you. And you want to maintain close fellowship with him. And that should be a driving force behind guarding your heart. You know he means good to you. So I don't want to antagonize God. I don't want to put a wedge between me and God by allowing my heart to control me with things that are not in God's approval and my best interest. Your love for God will lead you to create guards or hedges. And not because you have to, but because you want to. You love your God. And hopefully above all things, you don't want to hurt the one who loves you. So you put the necessary protections to prevent that from happening. You guard your heart. Because you love God. Secondly, because you want to accomplish his purpose. My wife was telling you us a while ago that we all have a plan and a purpose from God. We are called, each one with a unique calling. We want to accomplish that. Proverbs says that everything you do flows out of your heart. That means even fulfilling your plan from God flows from out of your heart as well. I want to run well. And most of all, I want to finish strong. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, Paul was talking to the Corinthians and he says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. I told you before, I used to run marathons, cross country. And that's not speed, that's endurance. And it's sad that you run 3/4 of the race and then quit because you can't go any further. You started great, midway you did great, and then at the end you fizzled out. You didn't finish. When we're born again, we are excited about the changes of our lives and our destinations. After being a Christian for a while, we cannot afford to get lazy and lose the rewards that have been promised to us. We have to get to the end of the fight and finish to be declared winners. We cannot get careless and get knocked out of the race after doing well. You know, fighters in a ring, I don't know how many rounds they got, 8 or 10 or 12, I don't know what. And they can start really swinging and being very strong. But they have to endure all of those rounds. And at the end, the one who stands wins. How you finish is just as important as how you start. Far too often we see people start off beaming very well. They guard their hearts, they surrender to the Lord, they surround themselves with the right influences. They depend on God and trust Him for everything. They protect themselves from all things at all times. Then, somewhere along the way, they get a little sloppy. They let their guard down. They mix sin with the wrong influences. But then they think, I can't handle it. They forget to keep doing the proper things that got them right to begin with. They stop protecting themselves. And instead of finishing strong, they get knocked out of the race. Like I said, God is not just interested in giving you a strong start or even a strong middle. He wants you to have a strong finish as well. Amen. I heard something the other day that really took me by surprise because I hadn't heard it before. You know, ladies that are engaged, brides-to-be, they're so excited about the wedding that's coming ahead. Have you ever heard of a bride who forgets her wedding date? I haven't. And yet, we as a church, we have been promised a wedding coming up soon. We are the bride. And we are forgetting our wedding date. We're too involved with the things of this world. We're forgetting that we're going to have a wedding ceremony up in the clouds. And we're so stuck to earth that we don't want to fly anymore. I just heard that, never heard it before. Look at the apostle Paul talking about this endurance thing. Philippians chapter 3 verse 12. He was telling the Philippians, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on. This is the apostle Paul in jail, suffering for Christ, saying I have learned to be content in every situation, even in jail, in the worst part of jail. At that time, it says, I haven't attained what I should. I'm not perfected yet, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul recognized that the work wasn't done. In his heart, not just the ministry, his heart was not perfected yet. And he wanted to make sure he finished strong. And to do this, Paul knew that he had to guard his heart. And we must do the same. The road is challenging and there will be battles along the way. But if you continue to guard your heart, you'll position yourself to finish strong. Because you love God, because you want to do His purpose, because you want to finish strong. Maybe another encouragement, because you love yourself. We all love ourselves very much. In fact, God knew that when He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Maybe that's why you don't love your neighbor. You hate yourself. I don't look right. I'm not shaped right. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not rich enough. And you hate everybody. Maybe you need to start working on liking yourself the way God made you. Some of you are trying to change how you look and how you shaped and everything else. Stop that. Learn to be content. God intends for you to be your best. And that can only happen when you follow His plans for you. Amen. You will discover how great life can be. And people will discover what a great person you really are. Amen. When you live who God made you to be. Philippians 4, Paul's still talking to the Philippians. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Remember that the heart refers to your mind, your will, and your inner person. So if you think on this, whatever things you just got through mentioning, they will influence your actions. You will not only guard your heart, but you will begin to experience a difference in everything that you do. Our hearts can become hardened to the Lord and His leading if we don't guard it. Having a hard heart makes it very difficult to hear and to obey the Lord. This means that we can fall prey to the enemy and that we are susceptible to deception. Anybody gives me 2 more minutes? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. I got 10 minutes. Since Satan's favorite weapon to use against us is deceit, the only way to counter him is with truth. Truth. The truth is a perfect protection against our enemy. And he works outside and he works inside our hearts as well. When we guard our hearts, God gives you the power for us to read, understand, and do the Word. The truth of the Word empowers us to live lives that are obedient to Christ. We put Him first in all we do, at work, in marriage, parenting, in finances, in school. We keep our hearts in check to ensure no one but Jesus sits on the throne of our hearts. That means you have to step out of that position as well. You know, many of us have a meology problem. It's all about me. Me, myself, and I, we sit in our kingdom. Well, when you gave your heart to the Lord, you said, Lord, I am taking myself down. I'm putting you in. Let's keep him there. This includes checking our intentions about everything we do, we say, we think. So what does this mean for us? Considering the following questions that we seek the Lord for His help in aligning our lives with the Word. First of all, are you trying to guard your heart in your own strength? Or are you admitting your weaknesses and trusting God to defend you? I guess before that is, do you really care? Do you prayerfully seek the Lord, trusting the one who gave you a new heart to help you protect it? See, we read some time ago that God made a promise that he was going to give us a new heart. He was going to take the stony heart out of us and put a heart of flesh, meaning a heart that is moldable. Well, we got a new heart. It still got some bad stuff in it, though. And God said, guard it. I give you the power to overcome the desires that are wrong in your heart, but you have to stay at it. Do you filter decisions, thoughts, circumstances, and responses through God's words, or you do what feels right? Do you actively set the word of God as a watchman over your soul by being in the word regularly? I hope so. When we guard our hearts, we become aware of God's leading. We become aware of our thoughts, actions, and the words that come out of our mouth. We are watching. We are being watchful. We become watchmen and women of our hearts. And when we see something wrong, we must determine that our hearts are going in the wrong direction. We need to repent, confess our wrong tendencies to the Lord, ask the Lord for strength to help us take good steps in the right direction. And finally, we walk in faith. Philippians 1:6 needs to be ingrained here. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He changed our heart when we invited him in. He wants to keep that heart progressing towards maturity. And he's told us, you are responsible to watch it. I'll help you, but you have to initiate it. And that's a commission that the Lord has given us. We can't do it without him, but he will not do it alone for us. So, Father, we thank you for giving us a warning once again to check the screen of our hearts, to be watchful for the things that can pop up as a bad signal, that we may pay attention and make repairs and amendments and corrections. Help us, Lord, to desire those things continually. Help us with the discipline to establish protection around our hearts, that we would not just live like animals, just doing what we feel right and forgetting about what you've told us. Father, help us to live as your children, guided by your Spirit, walking towards holiness, maturity, like light of salt that this world needs to see. Father, I bless everyone, and I thank you for them and their desire to keep their hearts in the right path. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. If anyone needs prayer, we'll be here for a while. God bless.